We have any awesome men in here this morning? There we go. Yes. Amen. We're a team and we're better together. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the power of that video, though, just to remind you who you are. You are the daughter of a king. Regardless of what circumstances, regardless of what life throws at you sometimes, you are the daughter of a king and you are awesome. You are powerful. And I say a lot here, you are more powerful than you know. There's more in you than you know. Sometimes it's not till we face circumstances that we've got to stand up and be strong that we realize how strong we are. Amen. And even in those moments when I'm not strong, thank the Lord that when I am weak, He is strong. And so my faith and my strength doesn't come from me, but my strength comes from the Lord. And the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. So I want to talk to powerful women in here this morning and the men who support them and love them. I already asked you, are there any powerful women in here? And I heard somewhat of a yes. Are there any powerful women in here this morning? Yes. We got some powerful, I'm telling you, we got some powerful women in here today. Hallelujah. My mom said she wouldn't give you $1 million for any one of her kids, but she wouldn't give you a dime for another one. And so we're just thankful we all survived. We all lived through growing up together in that house. And but you know, my mom's greatest ministry may not have been, and it may have been, it may not have been behind the pulpit. It may not have been behind a microphone or even behind an organ. What her greatest ministry might have been is the calling to be a mother. Amen. And that may not be your calling. You might got thrust in that up beyond your control, but I believe it is a calling. I believe it's a mission. I believe it is as an anointing, and I'm grateful and thankful for that and for the opportunity that. But so I want to honor my mom today, not just for being my spiritual mentor, but also being my natural mother. She's my natural mother and my spiritual mother. I was very fortunate in my life to have my spiritual father and my spiritual mother be my mother and my father. And I'm very blessed by that. I'm thankful that she's still here to cheer me on. And she still does. And so I'm thankful that she's a part of this ministry. I don't know why these days have to get so sappy, but just bring this box right on over here. No, but I am thankful for that. I am blessed to have that in my life. She was my Naomi. And she showed me the way to Bethlehem. She showed me the way to Jesus. And she showed me the way to my Redeemer. So, more powerful than teaching me how to make homemade bread, but she has an anointing for that too. Thank you, Jesus. More powerful than, you know, teaching me to can or to sew or to clean or to be a mom. I'm still figuring that part out. Right? I mean, we're still figuring that part out. Are there any perfect moms in the room? Thank you, Jesus. If one of you stood up, I was going to give you the microphone because probably none of us in here feel like the perfect mom, right? Right? And sometimes we get those cards or we get those comments from our kids that say, you know, I want to be like you when I grow up. I think, oh my goodness, I hope you want to do better than that. I hope you want to be even greater than that, because what happens is we view ourselves and we think about our flaws a lot of times more than we think about our strengths. And if we're not careful, we'll dwell on our weaknesses, but not realize how powerful that we are. And so I was blessed to have a great mom. I'm still blessed to have a great mom. And I'm thankful that she's a part of the ministry that we have here. And so I'm thankful for my dad, who was my my spiritual father as well as my natural father, who taught me integrity. He taught me a lot of things, really. But Lynn said not too long ago when he got up to preach, I forget what country he was in, they heard my dad say, "Preach, good boy." And I can't really say that I've heard my dad speak to me audibly since he passed. But when I was in Texas and I was trying to think what to speak, you know, and trust in the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to share for this people?" Because you can always do a sermon, right? You can come up with a scripture, but I want to know what is the right word for the right group at the right time, at the right season. Because, Lord, if you went to the trouble to send me here, you wanted to say something to this precious people. And I heard in my spirit him say, "Trust the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
Trust the word that's in you." And he would be a man that would say, "Be instant in season and out of season." And what that means is you never know when somebody needs to draw from your well. You never know when somebody needs to hear a word in season. And I'm not talking about standing here preaching. We think that ministry only happens here. This is a very minute part of ministry. But that we are all ministering angels as we go out of this place and speak a word in season that brings life and hope to somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. And the one of the last moments that my dad and I had together, you know, that he took us Christmas shopping every year, took all of his daughters and all of his daughter-in-laws, and he took us all to dinner and then took us all shopping, right? He's quite a guy. And the last trip that we took, he really wasn't capable of going in the stores much, or he was going to just sit in the van, and it was cold, and I went into the store, and I didn't want him to sit by himself, and I didn't want him to be in the van cold, and I had the keys. So I went back out, and I sat with him in the van, and we just talked for a little bit. And it was, I hadn't taken over too long from the church. And he said to me, "Babe, I'm really proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing." And he said, "I feel at peace because the vision I had is in good hands." And those were the words he spoke to me. And I'll never forget that moment, and I don't say that as any credit to myself. What I say it for is this. Our words are powerful. Our encounters are powerful. So that when I sat here after my dad had passed, and I held it all together all the way to the end, and when I had to get up and walk out, I said, "Dad, I don't know if I can do this without you." That was my heart that day. And, of course, here we are. Because God has a sense of humor. God. And I am sorry, I'm sappy. I really don't mean to, and I didn't mean to say all this, actually. But the reason I say it is when we sometimes take for granted the things that are most precious to us, those moments and those encounters, and we also sometimes take lightly the power of our words. The power of our words. Sometimes to just say to somebody, "I love you, I believe in you, and I'm here for you. Regardless, there is nothing that you ever do as my child that could ever cause me to stop loving you. I might not always agree with your choices, but it will never change." And you know, John Scarpotta was with us last Sunday, and he talked about love. You know, and we sometimes think, well, that's not a profound message, but yet it is so profound. And the scripture tells us that God is love. So then we go to 1 Corinthians 13, and it says love is patient, love is kind, love is not puffed up, love does not envy, it does not seek its own. When we take the word love out and put God there, God is patient, God is kind. He's not puffed up. He doesn't envy. And all of those things are attributes of God. And I fear that we have preached the wrong side of God way too many times and made God a fearful God or an angry God. But that's not what the scripture tells us. God is love. And love can cover a multitude of sins. And love is more powerful than hate. Love is more powerful than death. Love is more powerful than your failures and your weaknesses. And so I'm thankful for the power of love. I'm thankful for the power of God. And, you know, your mentors may not be a parent. And that's okay. But I was talking, somebody wrote a thought the other day about Naomi. Let me see if I can find it. It said, covenant with others, because I'm already going to jump all around my notes today. Covenant with others is what will help bring you to your destiny. Naomi thought all was lost, and God placed Ruth in her life. Watch for those God has placed in your life. Naomi needed a Ruth as much as Ruth needed Naomi. And I had never really thought about that so much. I always thought about Naomi being the older woman, the mentor woman, and she helped Ruth get out of Moab. But how many know Ruth helped Naomi get out of Moab also? Yeah. And so we never need to take for granted the people that God has joined us with or made us in covenant with. I'm thankful for godly mentors. I'm thankful for people that will take the time to show you how to sew a stitch, that will show you how to do something, that will speak into your life, that will encourage you as a young mom, that will help mentor you along the way and to cheer you on. Amen? Hallelujah. Miss Wilda hugged me today, and she said, I hope you know how much I love you. And I said, yes, I do, but I hope you know how much I love you too. And thank you for being a part of my life and being one of those godly moms who's cheered me on. Right? And she may not be, well, she is related to me. She's not my grandma or my mom, but she could be. We are related through blood. But I'm thankful that for her connection over the years, she stayed. You know? Godly women in this house that have stayed, that have held the fort, that have been consistent, constant in the house. And sometimes we think that doesn't matter, but it does. And I told my husband, I said, I've been a little bit stirred up here lately. Because I hear a lot of things about, like, what millennials want these days and things like that. And I'm like, I'm going to have to look up millennials because I'm not even sure who they are. Right? Like what millennials want. And it offends me somewhat. And I know that we've got to reach every group, right? But it'll be like what millennials want. And I'm like, but what does Jesus want? What does God want from you? Not what do you, it's what they want from the church. But I'm like, but what does God want from you? And here's my problem with it. Why should we single out millennials and say what they want? I want to know what my elderly want. I want to know what my toddlers want. I want to know what my millennials want. But I want us to be able to come together in a house that every joint supplies, that we have a generational church, that I love the wisdom of the old. I love the energy of the young. I need the creativity of those in between. We need you. We need every group in here. Don't ever think you're too young, too old, not smart enough, not trained enough to do and be a part of what God wants to do in this house. How many know in a house, if one person runs that house or does everything in the house is going to be weak in areas, right? We need every joint supply. Your kids have a part in your house. Your husband, your wife, whatever it is, we all have a part of that house. It's just as much as we all have a part of this house, right? And so I think we need to reach out to every group, every area in our church, right? So that everybody has a part of that and everybody is a part of what God wants to do. Exodus 20 and 13 gives us one of the first commandments. It's one of the big 10. And it says, Well, it's not that one, but don't do that either. Maybe this is the Mother's Day sermon. Don't kill your kids. You'll be glad you did later down the line. That's not her fault or the Holy Ghost. That's my fault. Don't kill your kids. It'll work. It'll be better when you get there. One of these days they'll grow up and you'll be glad, right? Thank you, Jesus. I love that. This is the one I'm looking for. Then we'll read that next one. It goes right in line with it. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That is the first commandment with promise. That God gives the commandment and gives you a promise with that. Honor your father and your mother. That doesn't always mean you agree with everything that they say. Doesn't mean you agree with everything that they do. Right? But I believe in a culture of honor. I still believe in honor. I still believe in integrity. I still believe in respect. And I still believe that we teach our children and our generations respect. And, you know, even in dealing with kids and things like that, you can deal with orneriness, you can deal with misbehavior, but you should never tolerate disrespect. Not to you and not to anybody else. Because what we find is when you learn, if you're not taught respect, you'll disrespect yourself and all of those that you come in contact with. We have disrespect for our armed forces at times. We have disrespect for our first responders. Because sometimes we forget the value of respect and the power of honor. But the Bible gives us a commandment. It's very clear on this. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It is his purpose to give you long life. But also that the name continues on for generations and generations. See, my dad is here today because he's still in me. Those genetics, those genes are in me, right? And even some of the word that I preach, some of the things that I say, I know I have been taught and heard over the years that have come from the mouth of those who have spoke before me. And so to give honor to your mother and to your father, sometimes it's spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, and understanding the power of honor and respect. Ephesians 6 and 1 through 4 also bring that up real quick. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. I still believe these are still commands. I still believe these are still commands. I believe that we need godly men to stand up and be godly men. I believe we need godly women to stand up and be godly women, whether in the home or wherever we are, because being a mom does not, you know, we're not just talking about moms today. We're talking about powerful women and the effect that you can have on everybody around you. Guy Rice Dowd once said, "We are all molders of dreams." That we all play a part in the molding of dreams, whether good or bad. But I can tell you, in being in a classroom, that one of the biggest problems in our school system is the breakdown of family. Hands down, the breakdown of family. Where we need moms to be moms, dads to be dads, and families to be families and work together. There's not too much that we can't overcome or accomplish if we really stand up and do what God has called us to do, and that is to honor father and mother, be a godly mom, be a godly parent, and be the man or woman of God that God has called us to be. There's a saying that says, "Here's to strong women. May we know them, may we be them, and may we raise them." Another person said, "I did not want my tombstone to say she kept a really clean house." had to think on that one for a minute. No. When I was pregnant for my babies, I don't remember which one for sure, there was a sign that hung in the doctor's office, and Sherry will remember this one. It hung in the doctor's office. It said, cleaning and scrubbing can wait till tomorrow, for babies grow up, much to our sorrow. So quiet down, cobwebs, and dust go to sleep. I'm rocking my baby, and babies don't keep. I've never forgot that. I've never forgot that. I was to be a new mom, and there's times when you got to give yourself permission to let things go and just be a mom, because there's always going to be dirty dishes. I saw something the other day said, the only way to keep a clean sink or kitchen in your house is don't feed anyone. Just don't feed anyone, because otherwise it's just not going to happen, right? So a dirty kitchen may just mean there's traffic through your house. Somebody stopped to have a cup of coffee or, you know, to get a piece of cake. When we were growing up and go to my grandmother's house, my mom would tell us before we leave the house, do not ask for anything to eat when you get there. We go to grandma's. Do not ask for anything to eat. We'd just get up from the table. We'd get there. Grandma, we're hungry. What is it about going to grandma's house that just makes you hungry, right? I don't know what it is, but... And so sometimes you just got to let the small stuff go. And Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 was my girl's lullaby growing up. And Beth sings it now on the worship team. But it's, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. One of the things that I've had to allow myself to know and to do in my lifetime is to every day is a brand new day. Whatever yesterday was, its goodness, its failures, whatever it was, his mercies are new every morning. Just like a mother's love, his mercies are new. They never come to an end. And great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. You may go to bed tonight thinking I have failed it, messed it up big time, but tomorrow is a brand new day, and his mercies are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. You got to start each day with new mercies and give yourself some grace. Being gentle and strong is a combination few have mastered. She stood in the storm, and when the wind did not blow her way, she adjusted her sails. And then I believe it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, women are like tea bags. You never know how strong they are until they are in hot water. Amen. Can I hear an amen? You know, we talked about Naomi already. Naomi needed Ruth as much as Ruth needed Naomi. Ruth was a Moabitess who dwelt in the land. And when Naomi had taken them down into the land of Moab, and it cost her husband and her sons while she was in Moab. She was not from Moab. It was a land of idolatry. It was not who she was. And when she found herself in desperation, she said, I'm going back to the house of bread. I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to the house of my Redeemer. And maybe, perhaps, there'll just be some existence for the rest of my life. Now, she had two daughter-in-laws. One was named Ruth, and one was named Orpah. And they both kissed her and clung to her, and she said to them, daughters, go back. I have nothing left in me to give to you. If I would marry tonight, if I would have sons, would you wait for them to come? There's nothing left in me to give. I went out full. I'm going back empty. And the scripture says that Orpah kissed her, and she went back to the land of Moab. But Ruth clung to her and said, whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And this is powerful. And thy God, my God. And so she went back with Naomi. And Naomi did not have anything to give her. There was nothing left in their loins. There was nothing left in the bank account. There was nothing left to give to Ruth except to send her in the direction where she could glean in a field of somebody who had some grain, had some barley, who had some provision for her. And what we find happens is that Naomi guides her and directs her into the direction of her near kinsman Redeemer. And what she found out when she got into the field of her near kinsman redeemer, that the near kinsman redeemer would catch sight of Ruth. And when he catches sight of her, he is smitten and head over heels smitten with her, and begins to give her provision and begins to woo her, to the point where Naomi said, you know what? God has placed you in the field of a near kinsman redeemer. Go in tonight in the threshing floor as he celebrates the harvest. Lie yourself down at his feet and see what he does. And Boaz makes a commitment to Ruth, and he said, I'm going to redeem you. He said, but wait, because I got to go to the city gate. I got to meet with 10 elders. Sometimes there's 10 elders are a symbol of the law. I'm going to go to the city gate, and I'm going to see if the law can redeem you. I'm going to see if the 10 elders can redeem you. But if they can't redeem you, I'm going to redeem you myself. Aren't you thankful this morning that we have a redeemer? What the law could not redeem, what the law could not buy back, what it could not purchase, what had already cast out, our redeemer stood up and said, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to redeem them. I have caught sight of my bride. I have caught sight of my beloved. She is altogether lovely to me. There is no spot in her. She is drop dead gorgeous to the point that I'm going to spread out my hands. I'm going to give my life for her. I'm going to buy back everything that's ever been taken, robbed, stolen, or lost from my Ruth. Hallelujah. Naomi may not have gotten her there, but she sent her in the right direction. Thank God for women that can stand up and send you in the right direction. I can't experience it for you, but I can tell you how to get there. And so Ruth found her kinsman redeemer. You know the story. She marries Boaz. She begets Jesse. Jesse begets David. David begets Solomon. Guess what? That woman, that no-name woman from Moab, who was out of a heathen background, comes into the lineage, and her name is in the great hall of fame in Matthew, because she becomes the mama to one of the greatest men of all time, David, Solomon, and King Jesus. Come out of the loins of Ruth. Don't ever count yourself out. Don't ever say, I didn't grow up in the right house. I didn't have the background everybody else had, but I got to Bethlehem as soon as I could get there. I found me a Naomi. I found somebody to connect me. I found my Redeemer. I found the one in whom my soul loved, and I got there when I could. Hallelujah. Never underestimate what God can do in your heart, in your home, in your children. If you're still waiting, hang on. There's a woman named Rahab who runs the house down in Jericho, the red light district. And the spies come in, and they spy out the land, and she houses them in her house, and she hides them on the roof. And she said, we've heard about you. We've heard about your God. We have been in fear of your God knowing you were coming. I don't know what's took you guys so long, because it took you all longer to figure out how powerful your God was than it did us. We knew you were coming. But when you come, can you spare my house? He said, here's what I want you to do, Rahab. You go get all of your house. You go bring your family. Bring all your relatives in. Put them in the house. But don't just put them in the house. I want you to mark your house with a scarlet cord. You go ahead and hang the red cord in your window. Turn on the red light if you need to. But mark your house, because when we come back and when we march around Jericho and when we shout with a great shout, I'm going to come into the house and I'm going to bring out the woman. The scripture said, go into the house and bring out the, it doesn't say bring out the harlot. It said, go into the house and get the woman and bring her out. You know what God's got to do sometimes is go into the house and bring out the woman that's in you. Bring out the one, because you may be the one that could say, I've heard about this Jesus. I didn't know about him. I wasn't raised that way, Sister Jenny. It wasn't the house that we came out of, but I got there as soon as I could get there. Hallelujah. What's your genealogy? What's your pedigree? What's your background? It's heathen. It's Moab. But we got there as soon as we could get there. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you this morning, there is no book of Orpah. There is a book of Ruth. But there's no book of Orpah. If you want to make history, well-behaved women rarely make history. You got to step outside of some boundaries sometimes. You got to step outside of the level of what you know and say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Joshua proclaimed it over his house. And I believe we can stand up and do the same thing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will raise up the banner. I will set a standard. We will mark the way. Hallelujah. Why will God take you through the flood? She said. And God said, because your enemies can't swim. Hallelujah. Trust him. Wherever he's taking you, he's got purpose. He's got his hand on you. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you're going to end up, but you're on the road there. Hallelujah. I mean, one of the greatest things Naomi had to do was forgive herself. Sometimes some of the greatest thing you can do as women is forgive yourself. As parents, forgive yourself. Dads, moms, think, man, is there anybody in here that could say, man, I wish I'd have done some things differently. I didn't think I was in the room by myself today. You look back and think, man, I wish I'd have handled that different. I wish I'd have done that differently. But his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So you got to forgive yourself sometimes. You got to work together as a team in a household. If you need help, ask for it. If you're worn out, if you're overwhelmed, if you're overloaded, ask for it. Amen? Sometimes we take it on ourselves. Sometimes we don't teach our kids to do the things they need to do because it's easier to do it yourself. Right? Sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself than to take the time to teach it. But if you don't ever teach it, you'll never get it. Take the time to teach it. You'll be glad you did. And I tell my husband all the time, a husband is never so attractive as when he ministers to his family. Isn't that true, women? When you see your men ministering to their family, whether it's a mom, a child, a sibling, and you see them stand up and be a man and minister to their family, there's nothing more attractive than that to me. I say, honey, you look good in that apron. Amen? And he's not embarrassed to wear one.
Push him on the swing set or teach him to ride a bike. Those are the things that they'll never forget. You know, when we were younger, he was always the insecure one. He always was sure they're never going to love him again because he just told them they couldn't do that or whatever. Where I'm a spanker. I just spank your butt going, you'll forgive me. And I always said, you know, the scripture says love covers a multitude of sin, and we think of that as, you know, sin. But I always took it as parenting. You can make a lot of mistakes, but you love your children. That's what they're going to remember. You know, Daddy was a hard man. But I remember that he loved us. I remember one time having a fight with him, and he met me at the bus stop because I was trying to linger so I didn't have to say goodbye. He met me at the bus stop, made me hug him. And that was it. It was all over because I couldn't hold out any longer against the love. But, you know, it's an amazing thing.
Oh, that love stuff. It just gets you every time.
It gets you every time. I can stay mad as long as I don't have to hug him.
Amen. I love you, baby. Strong women raise strong women. There are some strong women in here today because you had a good mom that took some time to teach you how to sew, taught you how to can, taught you how to cook, taught you how to wash your clothes, separate your whites from your darks. Yeah, all this kind of. Amen. Yes, you're supposed to do that. And so I want to talk just for a moment this morning about Mary, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? And we look at her, and the scripture comes to her as a young virgin and says, you know, that I'm going to birth out of you the Messiah, the Savior. And she says, you know, be it unto me according to thy will. Like, how powerful is that? She risked her wedding. She risked her dreams, her hopes for the future to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Be it unto me according to your word. One of the most powerful things I believe you can say is that, Lord, let your will be done in my life, in my home, and in your purpose be worked in me. And so all nations are going to call me blessed. She was obedient. I mean, let's face it. She rode to Bethlehem on a donkey 9 months pregnant, right? Bless her heart. Wonderful woman, right? Birthed in a stable. No epidurals, no health care, nothing. She gave birth in a stable. She fled to Egypt because his life was in danger. She hid out in a foreign land because his life was in danger. Sounds like the perfect mom, right? Only here, let me just tell you this. I'm going to give you some permission to forgive yourself. She lost Jesus for 3 days. Okay? You have permission today to mess up once in a while, and it's still going to be okay. Right? And why I say that, there's a scripture that says when Jesus is of 12 years of age, they went into Jerusalem. And while they were there, Jesus went in to talk to the lawyers and the doctors, and he sat amongst them, asking questions and hearing from them. How many know there was something drawing Jesus at even at the age of 12? And wisdom that he sat amongst the lawyers. What I mean by that is the law, the writers of the law, and those who interpreted the law and the scriptures. And he sat there, and they would ask him questions, and he would ask them questions. And that's what rabbis do. That's what those who were trained in the temple and school and under the schoolmasters, that's what they do. And so Jesus is amongst them asking questions. But the scripture tells us that Mary went a 3 days journey and realized Jesus was not with them. They left Jesus back in Jerusalem. Now, has anybody in here ever left one of your kids or lost one of your kids in the grocery store or in the department store or at church? My mom and dad left me at church one night. I'm still scarred. And it was the same thing. We were at a conference, and I was just watching everybody. I was so amazed by all these ministers and everybody who were talking at this conference, and they told me to get in the car, and I had no intentions of getting in the car, only they meant, like, get in the car right now. And so we all got in the car, and we were in a car. I don't even know how we all got in the car. And I look up, and there goes my ride down the road. All my family's in the car, and I didn't get in the car. I missed my ride, and I went running down the road after them, waving my arms, wait for me, wait for me. And my dad says it to this day, if he was here, he would tell you, he said, it was the awfulest picture in the world to look back and see that one of my kids had been left behind. Yeah. So the next time they told me to get in the car, I got in the car. I got in the car. But it said they went a 3 days journey and they had left Jesus. And how many times do we go about our agenda or go about our way and we realize we've went on our own journey, on our own agenda, doing our own thing, and we stop at a point and realize, I don't know at what point that Jesus was not with me. How many know sometimes you got to backtrack some things? You got to go back to the point and say, wait a minute, where did I walk away from the presence of Jesus and redirect myself? And the scripture said, and she went back to the temple and said, son, why have you done this to your father and I? What are you doing? And he said, mom, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? I mean, you know, it's about that 12 years old stage when they start hitting puberty and start making up their own mind. So in Mary's defense, he was probably, you know, hitting puberty, and it was probably he just wasn't listening, right? And I say that in jesting, but really what I want to say to you today most of all is give yourself some grace. In all of your life, we can look back and say, I wish I'd have done it this way or that way. Yesterday's failures will never change tomorrow's dreams. Leave them there. But start today. But the most important factor is Jesus in the midst of us. And so she said, son, where have you been? And he said, Mom, didn't you know that had to be about my father's business? He wasn't scarred. Jesus wasn't scarred. He may have started his disconnected puberty, which happens. But at age 30, when Mama said, Jesus, there's no wine. And he said, Mom, what do you want me to do about it? She didn't even respond to him. She said, whatever he says to you, do it. I love that, because even Jesus honored his mother. Whatever Mama says, said, there's no wine. He said, Mom, I don't know what you want me to do. He says, what is that to me? King James Message is, Mom, I don't know what to do about this. And she says, whatever he says to you, do it. And maybe at that point, she's saying to him, son, this is your moment. This is your time. And this is your season. From that point on, Mary does not call the shots, but he steps into his destiny and purpose. And they go get the water pots, you know, the ones where they wash their hands in, the bath water. And they bring it in, and Jesus turns that water into wine. It was man's attempt to cleanse himself, but what Jesus came to do was turn it over into a new wine, a new spirit, a new way, and a new vessel. No longer will you try to wash your own sins away and make yourself clean, but I'm about to step up, and that you're going to see at the end of the wedding. He said, most people save the good stuff, give the good stuff in the beginning when everybody's drunk, then they pour out the old wine, but you have saved the best to the last. Aren't you thankful this morning that we got the best? We got Jesus' best. No longer is it my attempts to wash myself in old fleshly, carnal, stone pots. But now he has turned water into wine. And from that point on, he is so driven to do everything that his ministry called for. His father calls out from the heavens, says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He goes into the wilderness. Satan says, if you be the son of God. If you be, that's what he tempts him with. And I'm sure somewhere along the line, Jesus says, evidently you didn't hear just what my daddy just said about me. I have the approval of my father, and it will always empower me to do what I was anointed to do, what I was called to do. Until the moment that Jesus hangs on the cross, and one of the very last things he says is, son, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Even in his hour of death and torment, he speaks comfort to his mother and brings honor to her. What a powerful picture that is. What a powerful, the power of our words. The power, the scripture tells us, and it truly is a fact, the power of life and death are in our tongue. You can speak life to situations. You can speak life into people's lives. We have to guard our lips. We have to guard our mouth and what we say, because you can hear 100 good things about you and hear one negative one, and the one that's negative is the one that'll stick, right? Hallelujah. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Just call me Ruby today. Call me Ruby. And I used to read that scripture and think, man, that virtuous woman, she got it going on. She's a merchandiser. She's a real estate agent. She does the laundry. She sews the clothes. I can't even pick out clothes off the rack for my kids, much less sew them up and get them dressed in them. You know what I'm saying? And I used to think, wow, what a woman. When you do all that stuff, then you'll be a virtuous woman. But when I realized, because she's a virtuous woman, everything that she does for her house and everything she does with her hands and everything she does with her heart, she does because of who she is, not who she's trying to be. Yeah. Hallelujah. So just call yourself Ruby today, because your price is far above rubies. And because you are a virtuous woman, you minister to your household, because that's what's important. You minister to the people you come in contact. It may be your husband. It might be your dog. It might be your family. It might be your mom. It might be the neighbor that you minister to. It doesn't have to be just those in your house, but your price is far above rubies. and you're more powerful than you know. Amen? Do we have any powerful women in here today? Do we have any powerful men in here today? You are a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning.